Gates of Orchid and Iris is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you. Remember to like, share, comment, review, and subscribe to our podcast.
Hello, this is Gates of Orchid and Iris. I am the GM, Paul. And who is playing tonight?
This is Sebastian Seabass, and I'm playing Ikoma Chuse.
This is Gatch Retches, and I'm playing Kaio Suko.
This is Ludo, and I'll be playing Matsu Erika.
This is Rachel, and I am playing Kuni Suiko.
I'm Mason, I'm playing Shishiro Saika.
I'm Kay, and I will be playing various NPCs today.
Yeah, a flight or flight response is triggered within Chuse. He doesn't have his sword on him because he was just here to meet somebody on business.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, his... Okay, he was sitting... You know how like you fold your legs and you sit like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he automatically gets one knee up like he's about to jet. Does this thing make any response?
Yes, it... jumps down from the fence. It's a cat.
Okay, yeah. Chuse falls back on his butt, and he just sighs.
The cat crosses your path. It's a black and white cat. Actually, it's the front part of it is white. The back part is black. And it, like, color kind of fades in between. And, you swear it has star patterns on it, but it could just be the trick of the light. And it looks at you directly in the eyes, and then looks back at the scene. And then walks off.
But wait, what's your name? No, I'm just kidding. I see. Well, does it seem like it's going... Is it going to the crime scene? Or is it going away from it?
It's going to the crime scene.
Hmm. Have they already cleared out?
They're starting to clear out.
Okay. So... they're starting to wrap up. As long as I can get there without actually bumping into them, I'm going to start walking that way as well. I've heard what they've determined... You know, there's no forced entry. Okay. These were, you know, weapons weren't drawn, things like that. Great. But, you know, Ikoma, he relies on his own eyes. Not just on the words of others, or the expertise of others.
And they start hauling off the bodies. And Jocho, this is Mrs. Mayu, and he and the Thunder Guard go off as well. And there you are with the cat. And the cat is looking at the parking area as well.
Obviously, this is a wise cat. Chudasai doesn't think the cat has anything to do with what happened here. But obviously, they're both curious about this scene, at least that much. So... what Chuse is going to want to do. Yes, he understands that there's no forced entry. There's probably no broken handle to the palanquin. But is there any, I guess, belongings, any scratch marks maybe along the inside?
This sounds like another check. Yes. let's see. You are surveying things, so that's going to be a water.
I would argue to say this is some kind of aesthetics. Is that the closest thing to seeing like architecture within a palanquin?
That is a good question. Let's see what the book says about aesthetics.
Aesthetics just, it might be clothing. If it is, then smithing might be another thing.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or design or something.
I think labor is one of the things to see, but I think that's more about construction. Also, sentiment is a good one, just for looking, but I think that's more looking at people instead of objects.
Yeah, it's trying to feel out their emotions, I think.
Yeah. Looking for scratch marks on the surface. This is always a hard one. You know what? Let's make this a survival roll. Because that sounds like it's a good thing. Because then you can also identify the scratch marks as well. If there are any.
Okay. Yeah. So.
And the teen's going to be 2, but the more successes will give you more information.
Okay, I gotcha. And we're thinking this is a water roll?
Yes.
Well, that's looking pretty good, but you said Tien is 2?
Yep, Tien was 2.
I'm going to take it without any strife.
Okay, awesome. So you do indeed see scratch marks inside the palanquin. Is it Quinn or Kin?
Palanquin?
Palanquin? Okay. Yeah, it might be one of those words I've been mispronouncing for years on end. So, anyways. You look inside. You survey it. You do see scratch marks. And from what you can tell, it seems like the scratch marks were made from inside. It was more than likely the Emerald Magistrate trying to escape.
Very interesting. Interesting, because that could mean a couple of things. Either A, because it didn't, this monster or whatever it is, didn't allow any of the Yoriki to spot it. They didn't have a chance to draw their blades after all. But if the magistrate was able to see it, is it because he heard the Yoriki dying? Well, no, because any of the other Yoriki would have heard each other dying. So instead, did this monster want the magistrate to see it before it before killing him? Or what, you know? Very interesting.
And from behind you, you just hear a meow.
new friend, I'm in the middle of investigation. What is it? What do you need?
And you
and
see.
And crouch down and look at.
And you see the cat standing over what seems to be a blank scroll.
Wow, I already love my new friend. Thank you so much, little cat. And yeah, I'll go ahead and take the scroll. That's very interesting.
And it seems like a generic scroll. It has no writing on it. There's really, it seems like there's no purpose to it whatsoever.
So it doesn't seem torn either?
No.
Interesting.
Gates of Orchid and Iris will return in a moment.
Welcome to Cultural Explorations. During this gameplay break, we will be exploring the world of geisha. In Japanese, ge means art, and sha means person who does. Thus, geisha literally means person who does art, or in English, artisan. Geisha is a term originally for men. These men entertained with dances and stories, and were also advisors to daimyo until the peaceful times of the 1600s when they became full-time entertainers. Females originally started within the ranks of the Oiran, or courtesan. However, they soon made themselves distinct from Oiran in the 1700s. During this time, prostitution was legal, but required licenses for the establishments. Geisha houses, called oikia, were forbidden from receiving this license. After all, the Oiran didn't want them taking away their clients. Women were called onageisha, or women geisha. Some places defined geisha and onageisha are an ochaya, or tea house, or a ryote, or traditional restaurant. It was not easy to get the services of a geisha. One must be a customer of the tea house or ryote, which are exclusive and new customers must be introduced by a long-time customer, or already known to the oikia. Geisha are trained in the arts such as dance, instrument playing, and games. They know the proper ways to serve drink and food and hold polite conversation. Male geisha were also known as storytellers and performed different skits. Depending on the size of the gathering and how much money one wishes to spend, you can have multiple geisha and a few maiko, or geisha in training. A small group will typically have two geisha and one maiko. Today, geisha are often confused with oiran. This is because to foreigners, it can be difficult to spot the difference at first. The easiest way to spot them is how the obi, or sash, is tied. If it is tied in the front, they are oiran, as the lady needs to be able to close up her garments by herself. Geisha wear their obi tied in the back in the taiko style. Geisha kimono also looks different. Oiran kimono are bright and fanciful with a lot of pattern, while geisha kimono are more subdued with rich, elegant colors. The maiko wear more colorful kimono done in an obviously younger style, but the patterns are still a bit more subdued than what you would find on an oiran kimono. Both have stylized hair. However, oiran will have lots of ornaments in their hair, whereas a maiko will have select hair pieces, often flowers, and geisha will have even less ornaments, and they are more on the subdued side. During World War II, servicemen who spent the night with an oiran mistakenly thought they were geisha, and when they came home, would often say they spent the night with a geisha. Thus, the confusion in the West was born. Some of the more famous geisha that we hear about is often in connection with some of the men that they were mistresses of. This has given the impression that most geisha actually had relations with their patrons. However, this actually was not typical for geisha and was more on the uncommon side. Geisha could marry if they wish, and only a rare few had relations with their patrons, and this was not spoken of. Geisha are graceful and elegant entertainers, not courtesans. Thank you for listening. Want to know more about geisha or tea houses? Visit our Patreon for longer explorations and other rewards. And now, back to our story.
And as your eyes adjust to what little light there is, you notice that there's many scrolls that are slowly being covered by the snow.
Okay, so we'll try to pick up some of the other scrolls or even look them over, see if any of them have anything written on them.
And all of them appear the same, just blank scrolls that have been opened up and left on the ground.
Yeah, Chusei huffs at that in disappointment. He'll think about it for a second and hold up one of the scrolls to the light, like back and forth. Maybe it's just dark out. I don't know.
Yeah, just nothing on them.
Interesting. Well, free paper is free paper. So, yeah, you choose I will roll them up and keep them on hand just in case.
And the cat seems to be watching you and just it cocks its head to the side and kind of licks its paws and cleans itself. And then you see just it going by the fence and sniffing it.
So this would be the fence that's separating the establishment from the rest of the outside world, basically?
Different lots, actually. So, like, there'd be, like, a rectangle shape, and then, like, right over it, there would be another parking lot. So
this is the same fence that those things jumped over?
Yes. And it seems like your cat friend is now jumping over the fence.
A bead of sweat rolls down Chusei's face. He doesn't want to go over it, but he must. So he does.
By the way, how's your strife doing, or stress?
Yeah, right now I'm at 3. Unless I started off with any strife, just seeing the events and then running away.
I would say you'd at least started with 3, just because the whole stress and witnessing and all that.
Okay, then yeah. I'm 6 out of 8.
Nice. Gotta keep track of that stuff.
Oh yeah.
So, yeah, you're skilled at this. You jump over the fence, and, maybe it's a little hard because it is cold and things are a little frosted, but you make it over. And you notice that there's another palanquin on the other side. And the cat is standing on top of the other one.
Yeah, so if that thing jumped over the fence, I wonder if it landed on top of this palanquin. I can see maybe if there's any imprints of its hands, paws, claws, whatever it uses.
That would be a good one. This sounds like an analyzing roll this time. And probably with survival, because it sounds like you are using some tracking skills.
Yeah, and if anything, trying to theorize what kind of animal this could represent, if it even is.
And, Tien's, let's make it 2 again. Because there hasn't been too much snow.
Alright, so Tien 2, that would be a success.
That would be a success. Indeed. You come to the stark realization. The things you saw were humanoid, with humanoid hands and humanoid feet.
Okay, so this definitely unsettles Chusei more than thinking it was some crazy monster from Jugoku or something. Now seeing it's a human who's capable of such wrath, of such destruction, that's not good. So if anything, I mean, this individual can look like you or me, you know? How is it going to be easy to find that compared to some monster?
Yep.
Yeah, Chusei scratches his head at that.
And the cat looks at you. And there's kind of... maybe you're imprinting on it, or maybe it is actually showing expression, but it seems to share the same concern as you.
Little cat, you've been such a great help. Tell you what, I think I know a friendly Matsu lady who'd be more than happy to take in a cat. Perhaps you'd remind her of herself. What do you think about that, little friend?
Nah, see you later. And the cat goes off.
For real? It spoke?
For real.
Whoa. Once again, Chisa is on his ass. He's just taken aback. His whole back is against the fence, like, what?
What just happened?
Chisa is going to bust up in laughter, not really knowing how else to react to such a situation. But at least that was a funny spiritual occurrence. Any he'll sigh. I think he's got a lot of information to work with at this point.
Thank you for listening to Gates of Orchid and Iris. Remember to share, comment, and rate us where you can. If you're listening on YouTube, subscribe, like, and hit that bell notification button. Support this podcast by either going to our anchor.fm page and hitting the listener support button, or supporting us through Patreon. On Patreon, the $1 level not only will help improve this podcast, but you will receive an extended version of the Cultural Exploration segments monthly. And we have a lot of other fun things planned for Patreon.